A key skill for innovators is the ability to quickly estimate the size of the opportunity for their ideas. How? I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
So you've come up with that great idea. How big is it? Some get hung up with coming up with that perfect answer. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me with a great idea, and when I ask them for how big the opportunity is, they tell me that they need 6 months and $1 million to go off and contract with some market research firm. That's not good enough when you're just trying to rank the ideas. In most cases, you won't even find the answer. You're never going to find the perfect answer, especially if you're breaking new ground. And if you're out there really creating breakthrough killer ideas, you're breaking new ground. You're not going to find that exact answer for how big that market opportunity is. The skill of estimation is key for innovators. It allows you to quickly filter your ideas. It's one of the criteria you need to use when you're looking for new ideas. What is the rough estimate for the total market opportunity? Now, what do I mean by the skill of estimation? Using the information you know to create a good estimate of the market opportunity for your idea. Not the perfect answer, not the exact answer, a good estimate, something that you can use as part of the filtering process so that you're insured of working on those ideas, those innovations that are going to have the biggest impact on your organization or you as an individual. So how do you work out these estimates? How do you create good estimates? Think of it as a riddle. The object does not define the answer, but define what makes up the answer. And there's a subtle difference there. It's not about just understanding or coming up with the perfect answer, but it's understanding the underlying logic. Find out what makes up the answer. One example I'm going to use here is a common riddle I use during interviews. Now, the purpose of this riddle is for me to understand a person's thinking process, but I think it's a good example of trying to understand or coming up with good estimates. So the riddle or the question is, how much gasoline is used in a given day in the U.S.? How much gasoline is used in a given day in the U.S.? Now, some of you may want to jump out on Google and do a quick search. But the purpose of this question is to understand the thinking process. Again, it's not about finding the answer, but to find out what makes up the answer. So what are the items that make up getting to the answer or getting to the estimate of how much gasoline is used in a given day in the United States? Some of those components could be things like the number of U.S. residents, the average number of people per car, what's the average miles driven by cars? And what's the average miles per gallon? Now, this is not the only approach to getting to this answer, but it's one that I most commonly hear when I give this riddle during the interview process. So, number of U.S. residents. Oh, I remember some back in reading some newspapers that were about 300 million people in the U.S. Number of people per car. Don't have a clue, but just given the people I know and the community that I live in, let's just say it's one car per every 25 people. Average miles driven per year. Well, maybe there's some estimate out there, but off the top of my head, I'm thinking something in the neighborhood of about 12,000 miles a year. And what's the average miles per gallon of cars on the road? Oh, I don't recall. Maybe it's something in the kind of the 20 to 25 miles per gallon. So, if you use those as just your rough estimate, you quickly get down to the answer of about 1.6 million gallons per day average used by cars driven in the U.S. each and every day. Now, the key is not to get to the exact perfect answer. You can always go back and refine. But the key is to understand the drivers for the idea or for the innovation. The way to do this is to break it down. Look at the question. How much gasoline is used in a given day? So what drives gasoline? Miles per gallon. How many cars are being driven? How many miles they're being driven? And there's multiple other ways to get to this answer. But the question here, or the challenge here is to break it down. Look at the question, break down the drivers underneath it, and understand those drivers. Now, if you're well-skilled at doing fast estimations, you should be able to create your first estimate within minutes of understanding the innovation. You should be able to come up with that first estimate during the ranking exercise. Remember, the process is focus, ideation, ranking, execution. The purpose of the ranking phase is such that you come out with the best ideas that you're going to focus in on the early stages of execution. You should be able to come up with that first estimate within minutes of understanding the innovation. It's to give you that ballpark that you can refine later. But you're not done yet. The objective of the estimate is not to come up with the total market or understanding what the total size of the opportunity is, but you also need to understand the timing. How is that going to play out over time? So the first question you have to ask yourself is what is the life cycle of your idea? To go from initial idea in the market until it's finally gone through the entire phases and it's end of life and you're done with that idea. Is it 2 years? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? Just come up with that rough estimate of what you think the total life cycle of this opportunity. It could be 20 years, whatever you think it is. Now you need to break it down, and I look at it across 5 phases. Now these phases come from Rogers' estimates of what we call the innovation adoption curve, and there's basically 5 phases. First one is the innovators, the extreme early adopters. Then you have the early adopters. You have the early majority, the late majority, and at the tail end you have the laggards. So you have 5 phases. The easiest way to do this is let's say your idea has a life cycle of 10 years. Across 5 phases, that means each phase will take 2 years. It doesn't work out exactly that way, but it's good for this rough estimate. Now, take your total market opportunity and break it down across these 5 phases. Early extreme innovators, the far ones that are really out there at the front edge, people who are taking on those new things right from the beginning, is roughly about 2.5% of your total market. Early adopters are about 13.5%. Early majority is about 34%, late majority is 34%, laggards are 16%. Now you've taken this total market opportunity and you've broken it out over this innovation adoption curve. Again, innovators 2.5%, early adopters 13.5%, early majority 34%, late majority 34%, and laggards at 16%. Now you're not done yet. Now apply the market share for each of these phases. For example, if you said that you were going to get 20% of those early innovators, that means you're going to have 0.5%. 0.5% for the first 2 years. Now be realistic. Don't say that you're going to get 90% of the market share. Understand what's already in the market. Get a feel for the leader in your industry has only got 15%. Odds are in that first phase, you're not going to get more than that 15%. So be realistic, be conservative. So apply the market share to each of those phases. So if you look at it across all those phases, you take the total market estimate that you've done as kind of a back of the envelope, you broke it down across the 5 phases, evenly spaced over the life cycle of your idea, run it through with a real rough estimate from the standpoint of what your market share is going to be. Now look at that opportunity. Now, if you need to get to a revenue number, just apply an average revenue per unit or revenue per customer just to get a feel for what the total dollars is. The question you need to answer is does this idea fit into the economic model of your business, of your organization? So why do I ask this question? Because in every organization, there is some mental phasing that executives go through to try to understand whether or not this idea is worth the effort. Some may be that they're looking for a certain amount of revenue within a certain number of years, meaning it's going to be meaningful to the organization. It could be market share. It could be number of units sold. Understand what that mental model is and quickly use this estimate to say, is this even in the ballpark? Does this even get on the radar screen for the executives? If your organization's saying that it's got to be $100 million business in 3 years, and you're looking at your rough estimate that says it's going to be $10 million in 15 years, guess what? It doesn't fit in the mental model. use that as part of your filtering criteria when you're going through that ranking exercise. However, before you give up or get overly excited and give the project a green light, take the logic that you've gone through and coming up with that rough estimate across the phases and across that market share and talk it over with others. Have them validate the logic. They will find holes, and that's what you're looking for. Because again, you're not looking for the exact answer. You're looking for the information that will get you to the answer. And you should be able to apply logic that says, if my market or my total answer that I'm looking for is this, here are the component pieces that lead to that answer. And what you're asking for, by verbally walking people through the logic that you've applied, does this make sense? Am I missing something? Are there drivers that I'm not understanding in this rough estimate? During that discussion, have them help you identify other drivers that could impact that estimate. And then determine the sensitivity. Which of those drivers will have the biggest swing on the numbers? For that guess estimate, there are really two drivers that really have the biggest impact. Average miles driven and miles per gallon. If I get those drivers and understand those, then I understand what's going to swing the answer one way or the other. So in this case, what's the sensitivity? What are the drivers that are in your estimate that have the biggest swing on your estimate? And understand those just from the standpoint of walking it through and understanding the basic math. We're not looking for highly accurate ROI models. Keep in mind, we're looking for those rough estimates. Once you understand that sensitivity, go back and ask yourself, how do you improve your idea to help leverage that sensitivity? Understanding those drivers, what can you do to the idea? How can you improve it so that you get the best advantage from those drivers that will have the biggest impact on the overall opportunity size? And then the final step during the ranking phase is, how does this rank with other ideas on your list? You've gone through the five key questions. You've gone through the ability of the organization to execute. Now you're going to use this estimate to understand how big this opportunity is. And the key question here is how does this rank with other ideas on your list? If this is one of the top ones, then take this exercise and refine it. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please send your feedback. You can send that via email to podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can also post your comments over on the podcast site at killerinnovations.com. You can also now follow us on Twitter. You can follow directly with Phil McKinney. You can also now get a weekly feed from Twitter for the killer question of the week. Just go over to Twitter and follow Killer Question. Also, feel free to join into the community. We now have the Killer Innovations community up at LinkedIn and over at Facebook. And don't forget to pay it forward. As if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that my motivator for doing the podcast is to pay it forward based on an ask from an early mentor that I had in my career. Bob Davis, who spent a lot of time with me, spent a lot of time mentoring me. When I asked him how I could pay it back to him, his ask was that I pay it forward later on in my career. I use this podcast as my way to satisfy that ask from my early mentors. All I ask from you is to pay it forward. You can pay it forward via Twitter by pointing your Twitter friends over to the site, link to the site, tell others about it. Thanks again for listening to this week's podcast. I truly do appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule and hope to talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.